Okay, so let's move on to the next speaker of this session, which is Xuan Chen, who's going to tell us about improved numerical stability of amplitudes in precise QCD calculations.
Oh, hello, yeah. So first I would like to thank the organizer to invite me for Amplitudes 2015. And so my talk here is a bit different than the actual QCD calculation, which is going to be the main topic of the conference. It's about how we actually use the known amplitudes and the matrix elements in our phenomenology simulations. So first, I would like to motivate us for the precise QCD calculation. Well, it involves several features that Nigel already mentioned, and the overall goal is to reduce theoretical uncertainty and also include large corrections from higher order terms in the perturbative QCD. The ultimate goal is to understand the signal in the LHC data better and to potentially distinguish new physics signals. So the cutting-edge calculation for the precise QCD phenomenologically is in the NQ by O for the Higgs production, at the next leading order for the digite production and top pair production for the like a two-colored final state, and for one colorless final state plus one color final state at the next leading order, and for various other processes at next leading order plus parton shower and the resummation terms, including colorless final states. So I would like to focus more on the fixed order perturbative QCD calculations where amplitudes with more legs and loops are involved. So here's an example of the normalized and factorized parton level differential cross sections. Here we can see that the tree level amplitude, how it's involved in the leading order contribution and how the one loop and the two loop amplitudes are involved into the next leading order and the next leading order cross section. During the calculation, we actually do Monte Carlo simulation to the final state phase space and integrate the phase space region, which is allowed by the process. And be careful that the experimental observables are constrained by the infrared safe observable, which we usually nowadays use the jet functions. And in the jet function, for the higher order corrections for the next leading order, and here for the next leading order, we actually reconstruct an N jets from N plus 2 number of partons in the final state, which means actually in the phase space, we allow double or single unresolved phase space region to be the input phase space region of the matrix element. So we constantly actually exploring the amplitudes that sit in the implicit IR divergent phase space region. So I know there are a lot of efforts required to calculate the amplitudes and furthermore to get a matrix element. However, when we actually use them, we constantly explore the unresolved phase space region, which give us an open question that whether those matrix elements are stable in those unresolved phase space region. Stable, I mean, of course, they are infrared divergent, but however, are they divergent in the way that we understand for the universal singular behavior for the matrix elements? So before talking about the stability, let's have a look at the theoretical singular behavior of the matrix element. So for example, here I use the color ordered amplitude where we can have factorization functions that fully capture the infrared divergent behavior involving only the unresolved parton and the color neighboring partons. So here we can see that if we think when the parton J goes, the momentum of the J goes to small and we think the small order is to the delta square, then the Eichno factor here captures the divergent behavior in terms of Sij and Sjk, and this Eichno factor has the overall divergent order of 1 over delta to the fourth. And also we can have a collinear limit where the 1 over Sij becomes divergent and the further factorization function involves the splitting function, where the Z parameter here describes the ratio where the collinear parton Pj compared to the total collinear momentum Pi plus Pj. Also for the in terms of the next linear order calculation, we can have a single unresolved input for the one loop matrix element, where we can have a tree eigenfactor times the loop reduced matrix element plus the one loop eigenfactor times the tree level reduced matrix element. Also, here is the counting of the order of divergence. And for the double unresolved limit, we can have a double soft, triple collinear, or soft collinear limits for the tree level amplitude, where the I and the J are color connected, or they are simply repeating the single eigenfactor or the splitting function where I and J are color unconnected. So from here, we can see that on the left-hand side, we have the matrix element with more number of legs than the reduced matrix element with lower number of legs in the right-hand side. So numerically, we have a very complicated function sitting here used by the program, where in the unresolved region, they in principle actually should behave like this. So which means we all know that the complexity when we have one or more legs, the complexity of the analytical expression grows exponentially. So here we could have a potentially large cancellation behavior such that the overall behavior looks like this much simpler formula. So the question is that if the large cancellation behavior on the left-hand side is bigger than the overall divergence of the known singular function, then usually our Monte Carlo program is designed to be stable at this order. However, there are large cancellations possibly at this side which will be numerically unstable. So the one way to numerically test in the stability of the matrix element and test its performance in our Monte Carlo simulator is to analytically check that each order of the divergence of the terms we generated and to find the large cancellation behavior. However, it's only easy to check if we have small number of legs, we are talking about maybe 20 terms against 1,000 terms when we have one or more two legs. And also, since the testing for the large number of legs is not really economic, we can do numerical check against the known factorization functions for, let's say, more complicated matrix element. So we can sort of use the known factorization function we studied before and use them as a benchmark check. However, we are not actually allowed to sit in a zero phase space point in the Monte Carlo generator. So it's a bit ambiguity to relate the parameters in the exact limit with the unresolved phase space points. And also, we can also use special functions to avoid parameterizing the relation here. However, for, let's say, a triple collinear factorization functions, there are about 20 to 40 terms there. And it's also hard to construct special functions that would converge automatically into this factorization function. So for me, the solution is to combine analytical and a numerical method. So we can analytically check a simple matrix element against factorization functions to make sure that it is infrared stable. And then we use this analytically checked matrix element to construct special functions. Well, in my case, I use the antenna functions. So on the left-hand side here, we have a target matrix element where we want to test whether it's numerical stable or not. Well, on the left-hand side, we have this well-checked infrared stable factorization function. Well, here I use the antenna functions and the reduced matrix element. So here we start with something with a new number of multiplicity of the legs to test the matrix element with a larger multiplicity of legs. And we can recycle this process so such that we can test all the matrix elements available on the market. So before going into the details, let me introduce the antenna function we used for this check. So antenna functions usually have two specified hard radiators and plus one or two unresolved partons. So we can have this X30 antenna, which is simply a three-parton matrix element normalized by a two-parton matrix element. And this one antenna function can capture the single JSOFT, IJ collinear, and JK collinear, three types of infrared singularities, such that we can construct one function that can be used for many different infrared unresolved limits. And for different parton species combination, we can use different processes to the matrix element calculated from different processes to construct the antenna functions. And we also need a well-defined phase-space mapping for the reduced matrix element, where here we can see that we need a mapping between IJKL momentum into the mapped capital I and the capital L momentum. So once this is all has been studied in the last few years, and we can construct the antenna subtraction terms which mimics the unresolved limits of the matrix element. So our numerical testing structure is as the following. We take the ratio of the matrix element against the antenna subtraction term. And as we all know that in the theoretical infrared singular phase space region, this ratio should be 1. However, in the numerical testing, we can plot the distribution of, let's say, 1,000 phase space point and see the distribution around 1. And here I use a small parameter x, which in this plot controls the soft collinear limits, where the x describes the collinear parton 4 and 5, and how smallish it compares to the total energy. And also x is also regulating the softness of the parton 3. So as we can see, once I drive into the smaller and the smaller value of the x, we are going into the more and more unresolved region. So in the spike plot here, we can see that the distribution actually centralizes at 1. So in this case, this is a good example of the numerical stability of the matrix element. As we go into the unresolved region, it's getting more centralized, which means the matrix element is stable it's getting more and more approaching to the analytical non-resolved for the infrared singularity. So through the phenomenology study, we have tested a number of tree-level and one-loop-level matrix element during the next linear order study. Now we found something unstable, which is the abnormal spike that found in the Higgs plus 4 parton and one loop. Here we can see that for the one-loop matrix element, single soft phase-space region are involved in the next linear order calculation. And when we drive the small parameter of the single soft limit to be more and more unresolved, we see the spike actually vanish as we go into the more unresolved region. So here is a clear sign of infrared unstable behavior, and we need to identify the unstable part of the amplitude. As this is a numerical test, so we can do a lot of hacking of the program. We can drive the x into ultra small such that the Fortran code gives a none, and we can find where the none is, and it's clearly the largest contribution in all different terms, and it's a possible unstable large contribution happens there. We can also to vary the precision of the input parameter and see if the output is sensitive to the change of the precision, and if it does, we can usually see that there's unstable behavior there. So to understand the unstable contribution of the Higgs plus 4 parton and one loop, let's first look at the structure of this amplitude. So it is calculated in this paper and implemented in MCFM. And also this amplitude is used in various next leading order phenomenology study of the Higgs production channel. And it is calculated by the generalized unitarity method, where we have a cut constructible contribution and a rational contribution, where it's determined by the Feynman diagram and recursive-based technique. So in the cut constructible part, we, as Nigel already introduced, we could have base integrals in terms of a box, triangle, and a bubble integral, and the only process-dependent part is the coefficients of each scalar basis integral. So the problem for the numerical instability comes from the three-mesh triangle coefficients, and also comes from a big cancellation between the cut constructible part and the rational piece. So let's first have a look at the three-mesh triangle, the coefficients of the three-mesh triangle integral. So here is the basis scalar integral, where the three-mass triangle means we have a triangle integral and the momentum input for the three corners of the triangle are massive momentums. So here the three momentum input are K1, K2, and K3. As we can see, they are a combination of external momentums and they are considered to be massive. And as the generalized unitarity tells us, we can calculate this coefficient by on-shell amplitudes. And this one, we can see that the internal momentum KB1 is put on-shell, and the light-like constraint makes sure that the gamma here satisfies this function. And also gamma satisfies several additional identities that can all derived from these relations. So the instability part is when we take a single soft limit, let's say K3 square goes to zero. So here be careful that K3 is the P1 plus P2. So we are here talking about P3 goes to soft, P4 goes to soft, or P3 and P4 goes to collinear. Both of them can cause the K3 goes to zero. In this case, gamma plus and gamma minus have a simpler form. Now here, this variable actually appears in the denominator of the three-mass coefficients. And here we can see that in this limit, we have large cancellation between K1 square and gamma minus. And when the cancellation happens, it is further joined with a small parameter S34, which in this case is basically K3 square. So the numerical unstable happens when this large cancellations result is joined with a small parameter. Actually, we can avoid having this structure by using the identity here. So gamma minus plus K1 square can be rewrite in terms of the K3 square, which in this case is the S34. So by reusing the identities of gamma plus and minus, we rewrite this one analytically equivalent to this formula, where the small parameter, where everything is proportional to the small parameter S34, and all the rest contribution and dependence of the S34 are made implicit. So this treatment can also be applied for other coefficients of three-mass triangle integral. Now we look at the problem for the cancellation between cut constructible terms and the rational term. Here we follow the order of divergence, we follow the convention of counting the order of divergence, where we have a single soft limit and its smallish is delta to the square. And for the spinner product, it has a smallish of the delta, and the Lorentz invariance has the smallish of the delta square. So for the single soft, the divergent order of the theoretical infrared singularity should be 1 over delta square. However, we have explicit terms like this that has a divergent order of 1 over delta to the fourth. So those terms sitting in the numerical program will eventually get cancelled as they are theoretically not there in the exact limit. So we can now seeing that there must be a large cancellation between those terms such that the result is joined with terms with a smaller order of divergence. So in this way, we can actually directly see the numerical instability problem here. So the L hat here are cut completion terms. Well, they are defined as follow. And by the definition here, I can identify those identities where we can rise. Here we can lower, and here we can rise the sort of a 1-2-3 order of the constructible terms. And now if we simply insert the momentum of the Higgs into the divergent part of the cut constructible contribution and arrange the previous terms into the following, we can see that all this term has a divergent of 1 over delta to the fourth. And by repeating using the identity of cut completion terms, we can rearrange the first line into this term, where the term only depends on 1 over delta to the square plus a term which is proportional to the 1 over delta to the fourth. Well, for the second line, we can rearrange the terms that it is free of the divergent scale. So also remember that we have a contribution in the rational piece that is exactly opposite to these higher divergent terms, and such that we can never actually code them in the analytical result and do the cancellation analytically, such that all the terms after this rewriting are without higher order of divergence. So with all this treatment, we can upgrade our unstable spec plot into a more stable spec plot. And here we need to notice that the horizontal axial has been zoomed in by 50 times, and we still have a very good spike. And the same treatment can also be applied to the two quarks, two gluon matrix element, and also for the NF contribution of the pure gluon contribution. So to summarize the talk, the precise QCD calculations require amplitudes for higher orders. As more and more efforts are required to obtain amplitudes with more loops and lags, equal attention needs to be spent to test whether those amplitudes are infrared stable. And here we can use the subtraction terms from the phenomenology study to test the IR behavior of the amplitudes. And here I give some examples in this talk and the further tests are needed in the future. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. So I see those questions from Stefan over there.
If you compare the matrix elements with the antenna functions, mm-hmm. how do you treat the fact that the antenna functions are not local in phase space?
Yes. Yeah. So the non-localies only appears in the collinear limit, where so there are angular. So if I go back a little bit here, so this way. Yeah. So this is the matrix element that actually in the collinear limit. So the target matrix element would have something like this plus the angular dependent term. For the non-local, for the antenna subtraction method, which means those angular dependent terms are actually sort of have a minus sign if we rotate the collinear limit by 90 degrees. So usually for the non-localies, which we mean that we need a pair of momentum input such that the angular dependent terms cancel each other and we have this nice feature. And it is true for the collinear limit, this may not be the best tool to do the testing. And however, as the leading divergence of the infrared singularity is usually involved in the soft limit, as we can see here, counting the order of divergence, the eigenfactor has 1 over delta to the fourth, where the collinear only has 1 over delta to the cube. So usually our Monte Carlo is designed. Well, we really have a technical card, as Nigel mentioned during the question section, that the technical card is to make sure that the matrix element and the subtraction term doesn't cause within the numerical processability of the code, such that we don't actually sit in the exact divergent limit. And that technical cut is usually designed for this order. So if we see a numerical unstable problem, it's usually at this order rather than the collinear order. So let's say to test the numerical stability using antenna subtraction term is sort of systematic with the overall Monte Carlo code. However, we want to do further tests, and yes, we should use other subtraction terms to do the testing.
Okay. Further questions? Thomas?
You talked about numerical instabilities in the coefficient of the triangle. The three-mass triangle. My curiosity would be whether you also see a propagation of this type of instability into coefficients of bubbles. When you take the limit that one leg becomes on-shell from the triangle, then this collapses into bubbles. Do you see some kind of feeding on of this effect to this bubble coefficients or not?
Mm-hmm. So for the numerical instability, we didn't see things like that. So, theoretically, as you mentioned, what if one layer goes to massless and it could go to like shrink into a triangle or a bubble, it's possible. But it all depends on how this analytical function actually presented and coded. And luckily, we haven't seen any problem there.
Okay, I see no more questions. Then let's thank Sean again.